T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover with John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Halfway home on a Thursday evening, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hanging out with you here on the John Chuckery Show. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Download that radio.com app. That way you can always catch us on the go. We know you're not in your car as often, so make sure you can listen to us. Put the app on your device. You have a smartphone. You've got your Alexa speakers. You've got your tablet. You've got your boombox. You got your Swatch watch. You got your Commodore 64, your Xbox, your Coleco, Intellivision. Whatever you got, just put it on one of your devices. That way you can catch us on the go. Social media, it's all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Follow us there, but more importantly, follow us on our personal Twitter pages to stay up to date with us. That would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That, of course, is your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Back in Midtown, producing the show, he won't be with us tomorrow night, but he is there tonight. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90. This, of course, is our nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So I had to kind of laugh at this. I don't, you know, we talk about hot takey and all that kind of fact. So the guy, I guess, who's trying to corner the market lately on hot takiness is this Bomani Jones. Now, I think he's, Jarvis, correct me if I'm wrong, he's with ESPN, right? He's like one of their commentators on ESPN or something like that. Does he have one of those shows like Get Woke or Get Up or Get Lost or Get Going, or does he have one of those kinds of shows on ESPN? He doesn't have anything? All right, so he's just one of these guys that just kind of roams around. He's like, you know, he's trying to be Skip Bayless or one of these kinds of guys, right? I mean, is that what this basically is? So I guess he's gotten Falcons fans riled up. And, in fact, there's a couple of articles that were about this in response to what he had to say. I guess he tweeted a couple of days ago, Falcon fans swearing in all caps to me, Matt Ryan is a Hall of Famer. Get off that narcotic. You watch so much mediocrity that pretty good looks great to you. And I guess, you know, Falcons fans have gotten all riled up, you know, for it because obviously, you know, he's taking a diss and a shot, you know, at our quarterback. Now, here's the thing. I don't know what his reasons are, but I've told you this before, that if Matt Ryan retires today, even though he's in the top 10 of passing stats and all that kind of stuff, he won't be in the Hall of Fame. He won't be in the Hall of Fame because he doesn't have that Super Bowl. And when you put him up next to his contemporaries, okay, which will be fair or unfair, because now you're talking about the Hall of Fame. Now we're not talking about some pro football focus list. Now we're not talking about some ESPN Insider.com article. We're talking about guys have to stand up and put you in the Hall of Fame. You know how that process works, right? You have a representative, and that guy stands up and makes his pitch to why he's in. His contemporaries for getting in the Hall of Fame are Breeze, both Mannings, Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger. You know, he's going to have those guys as his contemporaries of who's going in the Hall of Fame. And they're not putting six quarterbacks a year in the Hall of Fame, okay? You know, this is even where the glut of wide receivers, you know, it goes back to, okay, is Torrey Holt a Hall of Famer? Well, he's got Hall of Fame numbers. Yeah, but in his era, was he better than Terrell Owens? Was he better than Randy Moss? Hell, was he better than his own teammate, Isaac Bruce? Was he better than Chris Carter? You know, when you start to line him up against his contemporaries, is he better than those guys? Or is he right there at that level? When you watched him, did you say, okay, that's the best wide receiver in the league? Or that's the best quarterback in the league? Not a moment, not one season. I'm talking year in, year out. When you watched Randy Moss and Terrell Owens, was there much doubt that that wasn't two of the best guys that ever suited up to play the position? Did you really have to argue about it? No. When you say Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, is anybody really going to argue that, wow, should those guys be in the Hall of Fame? The guy who won six Super Bowls, should he be in the Hall of Fame? There won't be any argument about those guys. And it won't be because Matt doesn't have the numbers of this, that, and the other. If he doesn't have the, and I've said, if Matt Ryan wins the Super Bowl, if he had won that Super Bowl, Falcons had won, he'd have been the Super Bowl MVP, and he'd have a Hall of Fame resume. Like that. A Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP. He would be looked at completely different for the rest of his career. Because everybody would be like, well, you know, the numbers are going to be there. He'll get the numbers. Now, Bomani Jones, I'm sure, is not as diplomatic as I am in breaking down and explaining that to you. He would probably be all hot takey, you know, Max Kellerman, you know, Skip Bayless hot takiness. I'm presenting it to you in a rational, functional way. Because I am a Matt Ryan fan. And I've always been a Matt Ryan fan. And I think he's still one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. But I also understand that, you know, I'm also one of those people that believes there's too many people in the Hall of Fame now. The Baseball Hall of Fame is riddled with guys who have no business being in the Hall of Fame. Okay? Tons of guys that are not Hall of Famers. Tony Perez is not a Hall of Famer. He's a very nice player. Wasn't a Hall of Famer. Hell, Tony Perez was about the fifth best player on his own team. He wasn't better than Bench. He wasn't better than Pete Rose. He wasn't better than Joe Morgan. Hell, he might not have been better than George Foster or Cesar Geronimo or Ken Griffey Sr. or Dave Concepcion. I sure as hell know he wasn't better than Morgan, Bench, and Rose on his own team. But he's in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, it's littered with those guys. But that's the argument. Is why do I put Matt Ryan in before I put in Brees, Brady, Manning, Big Ben, Aaron Rodgers? Why do I put Matt in before those guys? Because, like I said, they're not going to have one class where six quarterbacks go in and then all of a sudden there's nobody to stick in the Hall of Fame at that point. Won't happen like that. So I'm sure the way I explained it and the way he would explain it are 180 degrees. But we both probably agree, for right now, he won't get in the Hall of Fame as is. Fair or unfair, he won't get in. Now, the Atlanta Falcons are over these next couple of weeks, and this will start on July 13th. They're going to start putting out, the Atlanta Falcons are going to start putting out their all-decade team list. Now, Jarvis, why were we not asked to be a part of this? The panel of voters consisted of members of the national and local media, Falcons alumni, and staff. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show about something that I read that I'm not going to try to get angry. I'm going to not try at the end of the show to get really aggravated, but it is symptomatic of the thought process. We'll talk about that later, okay? But I don't know why we weren't asked to be a part of all this. But the Falcons will be putting out, you know, and you can go to AtlantaFalcons.com and you'll be able to see this list. They say through a series of articles, videos, photo galleries, and it will include commentary from the voting panel. I'm more interested in seeing who the voting panel is. I want to see, because obviously, look, if it's Falcons.com, we know, what's his name, Matt Tabeek, Kelsey Conway, Dave Archer. I'm sure D-Led will be part of it. I'm sure Wes will be a part of it. Are they having Squid Billy? Is Squid Billy going to be a part of this, too? Squid going to be a part of this panel? I mean, so I'm guessing that's where you start, okay? Start with the people from the website. Start with the beat writer. I guess they'll probably ask Vaughn McClure. I'm sure he's being asked to be a part of it as well, as he does cover the Falcons for ESPN. So I don't know how many people that they had, you know, in all of this. But Jarvis, I think we got left out. I think we got the short end of all of this, that we didn't get a chance to be a part of all of this.
No doubt. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, they should have asked us to be on this committee. So we'll keep you up to date over these next couple of weeks. We're going to release it in slow bits and parts. We'll let you hear that. Now, Kadri Allison, okay? We've talked a lot about him. What's his role? Can he take that number two spot? Can he be the RB2? Will he get more work? Ba-ba-da-bee-bop, zip-ba-da-ba-boop, okay? So CBS 46's wonderful sportscaster, lovely lady, Emily Gagnon, was doing an interview with Kadri Allison, and there's one thing that stuck out about the interview. Let me let you hear this clip about him talking about what he thinks is running back you.
Okay, you can name Georgia running backs. You probably can name about 3-4 really good Georgia running backs. Our running backs do good in college and also do good in the pros. That's my argument.
Okay. So, he says Pitt is running back you. So, you got him. You got Tony Dorsett, who was a national championship Heisman Trophy winner. You got Craig Ironhead Hayward, right? Who's after that? Who am I missing that was a Pitt? I mean, Curtis Martin, right? He went to Pitt, right? He's in the Hall of Fame, right? He's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I mean, look, that's some pretty good running backs. I'll give it to you. Is that really running back you? I mean, if I... Huh? Oh, yeah. McCoy. Okay. I mean, what about, like, for instance, what if I said Oklahoma State and you get Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas? Or what if I said that's the first two guys you start with? Is that pretty good? Okay, yeah. I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that'd be a good place to start. Oklahoma, have they had any good running backs? Let me ask you, has Texas had any good running backs? Ricky Williams, Earl Campbell, Priest Holmes. I mean, how many great running backs come out of Texas? Okay. I mean, you could probably name... Listen... God bless, he's representing his university. I get that. I don't know that I would tell you that Pitt would ever fall into running back you. The reason that Georgia got that label is because, think about all the guys. You know, with Herschel and, you know, Todd Gurley and Nick Chubb and, what's his name? Noshon. You know, and Tim Worley. And, who's the kid that played for the Giants that won the Super Bowl with the Giants? Why is my brain? You also got even guys like Robert Edwards, who had some success in the NFL before he blew his leg out at a beach volleyball game or whatever. Who's the guy? Who am I missing? The guy that played for the New York Giants, Jarvis, won the Super Bowl with the New York Giants. Ronnie Hampton. Yeah. I mean, you can go on and on and on about guys. How about Garrison Hurst? Yeah, Garrison Hurst. How about him? You know, on and on and on. Again, you could go to Oklahoma. You know, Billy Sims. Adrian Peterson, Marcus Dupree, Greg Pruitt, you know, the Pruitts. Yeah, those guys were really successful in the NFL. Greg Pruitt had a real good NFL career. Oh, I forgot one. Does anybody want to run down Southern Cal? Mike Garrett, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, right? Charles White, he was a Heisman Trophy winner, right? Marcus Allen, he won the Heisman Trophy, right? How about some guy named Orenthal? I mean, if you're going to lose your head, I mean, let's go all the way. Anyway, when we get back, it will be time for That's Life. If I could just get two good days in a row, that's all I'm asking for, two good days in a row. And it looks like we got to age dogs differently now. We have to change everything in today's world. It's all next, John Chuckman Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. 9:21 on a Thursday evening. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. As always, download the Radio.com app. We want to make sure that you can catch us anywhere on the go. Social media at 929 The Game. Give me a follow. It's at JMCH316. You can reach him at JarvisD90. By the way, I'm surprised a few people asking me on Twitter what Carolina mustard sauce is. I'm surprised people don't know more about that. Jarvis, is that like one of those hidden little things? I mean, people know about like the honey barbecues and the smoky, you know, some of the, what is it? Is it Memphis Jarvis that does the dry rub, right? Everybody's got their kind of, yeah, everybody's got their flavor, right, Jarvis? It's like Memphis is dry rub. Carolina is mustard. Vinegar base as well. Texas is like real smoky and wet, right? Kansas City has their style, right? Like there's all these different barbecue styles throughout. But I've really become a fan of the mustard sauce, which my understanding is that's a Carolina thing, the Carolina mustard sauce out there. And it does kind of have a little bit of a, you know, that tangy, little bit vinegar, you know, taste to it. It's not a true vinegar-based barbecue, but, man, that Carolina mustard, I'm telling you. You know, I mean, and you know, you can buy, just go to the store and buy some, you know, the one I buy is the Kroger one that they have. It's I don't know, they're a little bit more expensive one or something like that. It's Carolina mustard sauce. It's not like their Kraft version or whatever like that. Sticky Fingers has a pretty good Carolina mustard sauce to put on stuff as well. But, you know, if you haven't tried Carolina mustard, give it a try because it's a little bit different. If you like something with a little bit more kind of that mustard tanginess to it, I love it, man. I absolutely love to dip ribs in it, brisket. Now I like it personally on the side. Like I'm a sauce on the side kind of guy for my barbecue. I don't like my barbecue meat drowning in sauce. I'd rather put my own sauce on there. So give me the sauce on the side. Jarvis, are you a drown your meat in sauce, or are you a, you know, I'll put my meat in the sauce as I go?
Well, that's a very personal question, Chuck, but answer it, though, I like to put it on the side before I put it in.
Yeah. I mean, I do, too, and even when I was married. But anyway, you know, all I want, Jarvis, is two good days of the market back-to-back. Because today, again, sucked. Everything I gained on Wednesday, lost on Thursday. This is a real roller coaster ride, man. You get good moments, you get bad moments. Now, I bought another stock today, too. I think it's CLNE that I bought today. They are a natural gas. Yeah, okay, they're a natural gas company provider. They just signed a deal with, who was it? Chevron or something like that. I think they signed a deal with Chevron or something. I got in I made a little bit on it today, but I'm probably a little bit behind the curve on it. I didn't make very much. They were trading at like 45 cents a share just a couple of months ago. They're peaking somewhere around $3 a share right now. I bought them a little bit under $3 for it, but they're raising more capital. They've got some kind of deal with Chevron or something like that, providing more clean fuel, clean energy, right, as we move to all of this, you know. So their 52-week high was literally just like a week and a half ago that they hit, that they really spiked when this deal was announced with Chevron or whatever like that. So, again, throwing some darts out of the wall. Now, Jarvis, did you want to tell me on air or off air about something that you discovered?
Well, I came across, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with Bitcoin.
Yes.
So I got a little tip last week about Dogecoin, D-O-G-E-C-O-I-N. Dogecoin is another one of those digital currency
cryptocurrency.
Yep. So, and I got in on it, Chuck, and the thing about it is, it's not even worth a penny. So you can get $60 will probably get you probably about 15,000 shares. And
right.
and it's starting to roll because a lot of momentum came from a TikTok post, and people just been buying it, and it's almost doubled within the last couple of days. So I've doubled mine a little, you know, I made a little change off of it already, and I'm trying to ride it out, man. So if you want to buy some Dogecoin, you got to put about $50-$60 in to make it worth a while. So, but
right.
it's well worth it, man. I've been making a nice little piece of change these past couple of days.
I'll look at that because, you know, I've said before, I don't trust Bitcoin. I don't trust Bitcoin. And I know you can buy like partial shares and stuff like that of Bitcoin. I don't trust Bitcoin. I think it's proven to be too volatile. And I know it's a real, you know, it had some real momentum to it a couple of years ago. By the way, too, you know what they're saying is that they're saying that there's going to be another big spike in gold. That, you know, when you get in these pandemics and stuff like that, that gold is going to be, well, precious metals. They said gold's going to have another big spike. It's going to have another big uptick. And silver. And I've been on silver for a while. I believe in silver. I think silver is undervalued as a precious metal. But I've been leery about Bitcoin. I'll take a look at this because I don't mind throwing a few bucks at something. Like I said, I'm trying to find that one home run, man. I want that one home run, Jarvis. I mean, just find that one thing that you know, I don't know, buys the beach house in Florida or whatever. You know, let me soak some of that in. I didn't see, by the way, Delta or Carnival, I can't remember which one, was going to announce their earnings at the end of the day today as well. So I didn't see how that affected aftermarket on some of that stuff out there. But, all right, I'll take a look at that.
Check
like I said,
out,
I bought into a clean... Yeah, I bought into a natural gas energy provider today. I'm trying anything at this point. I'm just, you know, listen, I'm trying to make a few bucks out of this whole thing. All right. Now, why researchers got grants and money to do this is beyond me, but the University of California San Diego School of Medicine has been doing a new study to look at the physiological ratio of dogs and humans. Yes, this is a real thing. You know the old standard of, you know, you dog years, you take your age and multiply it by 7, and that's dog years, okay? Well, I guess they say, and there's a whole chart on this that you can look up, that that's no longer the in vogue standard of everything. It says that, you know, the physiological differences between dogs and humans is a little bit more evolved than that. They say, per the release, a 1-year-old dog is similar to a 30-year-old human. A 4-year-old dog is similar to a 52-year-old human. Then by 7 years old, dogs' aging slows. And there's a graph and a chart that shows this progression. Quote, this makes sense when you think about it, after all. a 9-month-old dog can have puppies, so we already knew that the 1-to-7 ratio wasn't an accurate measure of age. That's from Trey Eidecker, a PhD professor at UC San Diego School of Medicine and Moores Cancer Center. So somehow he got a bunch of money to try to help figure out the physiological relationship between humans and dogs. Where would I start on? Listen, that could be a week of What's Bugging Chuckery right there. And people are worried about where some of this money goes to this company or that company. Somebody's getting money to learn about the physiological aging curve between humans and dogs. Says the graph, which also serves as a visual formula for dog-human age comparison, is available online for all dog owners to use to help determine their dog's physiological age. All you need to do is find your dog's age on the bottom axis and trace your finger straight up to the red line to get your pup's age in human years. The researchers say while they know this formula isn't perfect, since the study only used samples from one breed of dog, they hope this new formula is the first step to a more accurate understanding of dog aging and what kind of care and treatment dogs of different age groups need. Whew. Because they talk about some of the anti-aging products and this, that, and the other, and some of the things, you know. Hey, listen, God bless. Then people wonder about where our government money is going to. I was going to save this for What's Bugging Chuckery, but there's usually always something. You remember this Lady Antebellum, and I think we mentioned this in one of our That's Lives. They changed their name to Lady A to take away the Antebellum. So I guess there's a blues singer whose name is Anita White who goes by the name Lady A and has for like 25 years. Have you seen this story? Where they tried to come to a financial settlement with her, and she won't budge. He's like, I don't want to give up the name. It's how I've built my name and my career. So Lady Antebellum, wanting to be Lady A now, is suing her to try to get the name from them. Suing her to try to get the rights from that. You can't make this stuff up. So they want to honor black folks by dropping the Antebellum and going to Lady A. But the way they're going to go about it is to sue a black woman to get her name that she's gone by professionally for 25 years. Let me repeat what I just said. You can't make this stuff up. They'd have been better off just to stay Lady Antebellum, because now they really look ridiculous. Now they really look absurd for what they're trying to do. Because they could not get a settlement. They said they decided to sue after White's attempt to enforce purported trademark rights in a mark that plaintiffs have held for more than a decade. The band is not seeking monetary damages, but they want to use the name Lady A. Oh. It really is a crazy world that we live in nowadays. All right, when we get back, earlier in the show, I had a chance to speak with Peter Moylan as we talk about some Braves baseball as another inter-squad scrimmage took place today. We'll let you hear what he had to say, former Braves reliever, now analyst for Fox Sports South. It's all coming next. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on your radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.